Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we Asifal Phase Gimel, we dealt with Shrasim in the water. Dalet Hey, Vav, Zayin, to a certain degree, Ches, which we'll do next week, are Sifim that deal with creatures in fruits. It's truly remarkable how many different types of small crawling insects HaKadosh Baruch Hu created.
A billion.
When it says Sheretz HaSheretz Al-Oretz, in my Sibrachus, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many, many different types. I'm sure each one for its use. Now, I'll review Sif Dalet. The working of Yesaid in all issues that have to do with bugs. And I told you at the outset, this is a simon of kulas. Is that not all bugs are usser. Only bugs that are, in this case, that are sheretz al ha'aretz. Sheretz al ha'aretz means that at some time they were on the ground. Lafuke, bugs that come into existence in a fruit after the fruit was detached from the ground. So while, for example, lettuce gets bugs on it while it's growing. So those bugs are us. There's nothing to talk about. They're sheretz al ha'aretz because a fruit that's connected to the ground is considered to be al ha'aretz, and that is no shayla. The room for leniency is on bugs that come about afterwards, and we had discussed this week about the cashews, which I will discuss momentarily. Let's learn the Mechaber, which is the basic rule. And again, the idea that all bugs are asa is not true. It has to be sheretz al ha'aretz. And if the bug comes into existence in a fruit, then you're allowed to eat the bug. It's not a problem. Now, if it's perish from the fruit and it crawls around, it's asa. Because man, it's in the fruit. What? If it's both, it's us. If it's sheretz both, once it's sheretz al ha'aretz, it's treif. You can't kasher it by making it do something else. So again, the rule of thumb, sif dalet, terlah magadelim beperis betolush, mutarim, to fruits, bugs, creatures, crawling insects, worms, that grow on fruits after they're tolush, after they're disconnected from the ground. The mutar shaloi asur teira el sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Pasuk in the chumash, the Torah only answered the sheretz that sheretz on the ground. By medivar mamurim shaloi pirshu menapri. That's as long as they're in the fruit, the particular fruit that we're talking about. Avol pirshu menapri. Once they leave the fruit, afilu lo higiu laaretz. Now. This afilu is the following. The Gemara
what's called
pirshu menapri. Now, if they separate the pri, they crawl on the ground. They're certainly sheretz al ha'aretz. The Gemara, if you look in the top era gaila, bayis sham v'lay nifshete ulechumra. The Gemara there has five ibayis that it's not paishit, and I think it's cholim daf samachvav. The Gemara has five ibayis that doesn't answer, and these five are listed here. It's a shalav v'derais, so a machmir. Listen to the five. Afilu lo higiu laaretz al shemes ba'avir kaidim shegiu laaretz. If the fruit left the fruit, even it never crawled on the ground. Now why should that be us? It was never sheretz al laaretz. We'll see in a minute. Or even a little bit of it came out. Number three. Now that's hard to understand. He is saying a bug that crawled out of the fruit onto the outside of the fruit is aser. It still wasn't sheretz al ha'aretz. We're going to see in a minute. It's very important. If it went from one fruit to another, it's also us. So how many was that? Loigil Aretz, Mes Bahavir, a Pirish Mitsasai, Pirish Agabi Pri Agarin, Pirish Mpri Lapri, the Eshaisha Mephilu Mes Besecha Pri, U Pirish Achakath. And some aser, even if it died in the fruit and afterwards came out, but as long as it's in it, this is the Mechaber Shita, that it's mutter if it was never pirish min hapri. The five examples are, now let me just explain the Ibayis, and then we'll come back to the main topic. The Gemara Shaila is, if the heter, the kula, of someone has created in a fruit, is an absolute heter, as long as it's not shayris al ha'aretz. In other words, the heter is not that it's in the fruit. The heter is that it was never shayris al ha'aretz. And then if it's pirish mepri lapri, it's still mutter. Or, if you need the language we had by Sharet Samayim, Hainu Revise. You need it to be in the place, Revise means where it's Puravu, where it came into existence. And again, we're saying that when it goes from a tiny invisible egg to a visible worm, that's called Revise. And those four and a half Ibayis in the Gemara all have to do with something that was never Sharet Sal Aretz, but it's also not still b'makim revise, the place where it was created. So the Mechaber says that we're machmir misafik. And later when we discuss svek sveikis, this is going to be very important. We're machmir misafik. So
according to Mechaber, a date, you find a worm.
So it depends. You see, we really have to do is find out, is the worm that's in a date, does it come into the date when it's growing on the tree, in which case it's aser.
But there's no holes, nothing like that.
No, because they're tiny eggs. It could be the tiny eggs were there. So we have to know. Now, it's sometimes difficult to know, sometimes easy to know. In the case in point, the cashews that we discussed last week, and again, sometimes you open up a cashew, you split a cashew, and you find a worm inside. So the question is, do you have to check for that? Now, it may be such a miyot that you don't have to check. The question of miyot, which is a very important aside, is sifches or next week. But let's assume for a minute that there's a problem with the worms in the cashews, as far as the prevalence. What about, maybe those worms are b'tul chetchila? Where are those worms coming into their cashews? Are they coming onto the ground when it's still growing from the tree, or do they come at some later point? So the only place I had to do was to Google it. Now, I have an old rule that Babbage told me 20 years ago when they started with, when the Google began, never trust anything you find on Google. He said, he was talking about medical things. He said, never trust anything medical you find, because only the strangest things are the most commonly viewed, and therefore they come to the top of the list. This came to mind a short while after he told me this. I may have mentioned this to you. A young man in my shir came to me. He needed to talk to me. I went into a room with him, and he explained to me that he was going to die soon because he found blood in his stool a few times, and then he Googled it, blood in the stool, and it's a sign of advanced cancer in the colon, and he has, there's no chance for him because based on the Google. So I immediately called my son, who's a doctor, and I said he found blood in the stool. He asked me, how old is he? I said, in his 20s. He said, just tell him to ignore it. He probably has some abrasion in the colon. Just tell him to ignore it. It'll go away. So that was a case in point of things you Google. So I Googled worms in cashews. Now, before I tell you what I found, an example of Dr. Babbage's rule, I found the following headline. The world's 10 most dangerous foods that people actually eat. And it said, strange but true, eating raw cashews in large amounts can be fatal. That's the headline. Right. Eating raw cashews in large amounts can be fatal. So I experimented with this. I ate a large amount of cashews. So this just goes to show, I guess, what he said. Now, as far as what the normal, what seems to come up when you Google nuts and bugs and cashews, there seems to be a consensus that they come later. They don't come on the tree. The cashew actually grows in some type of a a fruit, like it grows in a liquid, which is in itself enclosed in an outer fruit. It looks something even like a pepper on the tree. And although worms are found in the nuts, at least according to what seems to come up from Googling, these are eggs that are deposited later by creatures that sometimes burrow. We have, again, this is just in what you get. We found that in the cashew nut eggs, the nuts have holes burrowed by the Indian meal moth larvae. These moths and worms grow due to dampness and moisture. It's purely a storage problem. As they say, it comes in storage, not that it comes in on the tree. As a matter of fact, they recommend the easiest method of removing insects from almonds, peanuts, walnuts, cashews, and other nuts is freezing them for 3 to 4 days in a freezer. Now, I assume you freeze a nut, you freeze a worm, it's still a worm. I think what they mean is that you'll kill the eggs, and then it says another method of limiting eggs is baking them in an oven at 140 degrees for an hour. Now, the idea being, I assume, that the eggs won't hatch once you do that. And it seems that it's at least questionable whether these worms are even us, or even if you know they're there, whether they're us or not.
Or not. Because
if they're created in the nut, then we're going to have actually two heterim. A heter we're going to see in the next sif. But right now, a heter here, that if it didn't come when it was on the tree, if it came in the pre, teilah magidelum beperis betalosh mutarim. Not nemutimisafik. Even if you know the worm is there, you can go and eat them. Now, according to them, you know, it might be fatal, but assuming that it's not truly fatal, the teilahim betalosh mutarim. So that's why I told you the simon is full of coolers. That these bugs, even though they're bugs, and you look at them and say, "Oh, the bug," but as long as they're in the nut, they're mutter. Now, my experience from the one time we found one is that they're alive, very much alive. And in the case we found one, I put it into a cup and put it in the study, and I came back later, and when we found it, it was still; it didn't move at all. But when I came back later, it had crawled off the nut. And by the time it crawled off the nut, it was definitely awesome. Because if it's parish afterwards, then it's also. But this is the chiddush we're learning today, that you can have cases of nuts, of worms, where you're allowed l'chatchila to eat the creature, the nut or the fruit with the worm, assuming they were gedalim beperis, assuming that they came into existence bitolish. If you add to the fact that at the most in cashews it's a mir hamatzoi, it might be a mir chain hamatzoi, it's really not common. So it can be makel. Sometimes you find a cashew which is all which is you can see that something has happened to it. It's decayed, and that's a sign of worminess in it. Or as I mentioned last time, sometimes you have in almonds more than in cashews, you have a webbing at the point where the bugs, the creatures would enter, and the webbing is also a sign not to eat it, although I think it's not pleasant. Most people wouldn't eat it anyway.
It can't exist as a clover, but it's created in the nuts. It would also be
there. According to what I've learned so far, no. We'll have a kula of Chachmei Ashkenaz soon, but what we learn now is any time if it grows on the nut when the nut is mechuber, the nut is considered aretz.
In the nut,
that's on the sheres al aretz, because the nut itself is aretz. The nut itself is a type of aretz, and therefore what?
There's no space to move.
So that's sivov, actually, not sifay. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it momentarily. Okay. Now, well, Tove is in the kitchen later. We'll send you somebody. We'll send you somebody. Don't eat the ants in the kitchen. They're not worth it. Now, so no. Once it's pirish min ha-pri, you see, read the mechaber again. The beginning of Sif Dal. The question was: if you open a cashew and found a worm, could you pick it up and eat it? So it says here, Telah Magdalim Beperis Betolish Mutarim Shleisu Telah Shasta Sheres Aretz. But Medivar Amamurim Sholei Pirshu Min HaPri. Avol Pirshu Min HaPri Afilu Lo Yigiu La Aretz. El Shemes Ba'avir, Kajigil Aretz, it's Asr. So if you're going to pick it up and take it, that's the Ibayi in the Gemara. What? With the worm, you put a little salt on it, you eat it with the worm, with the cashew. You leave it on the cashew and then eat it that way. Now I want to tell you, I'll talk about dying in a minute. If the point I'm making is not that you should go around eating these worms, and I told you at the outset, I don't know how much you can rely on Googling things for accuracy. But the point is that to be mechayev checking for it, where the thing itself is like barri surei, and we're not talking about going to eat the worms, we're about eating a cashew without cracking it open. To go to check for something, which in all likelihood is mutar gamur, to mechayev checking seems to be a davar pella. You see, a very strange thing. Assuming it's at least likely that the information is that I'm presenting to you is correct. Now, what happens if it died? So the dying is an issue. Look again in the Mechaber here on the second page of this sif, the fifth. I told you that five. Both Leivshita is a five sveikis. Yeshayis shemefilu meis b'sechapri upirish achakach. There are those who aser even if it died in the fruit and then was pirish. So it's a yesh oisrin. Okay, again, the question is it died and then it came out. Now this question goes back to last week about bugs in water. If they're spawned in water that's mutter, we have the same hetter, made by rice. If you have a creature that's spawned in water, when it's in the water, you're allowed to drink it. If it's born in standing water, it may virus. However, once you take it out, it's usher. What happens if it died first, which is the case in the bugs in the water? Mechaber says yesh oisrim, shach yud beis, crucial shach. Shach yud beis says b'teres chatas klal mem vav dibra masa kosev zel shaynei kosev amagid mishta perik beis mochas macholos asures. B'shem ha'halachis, who are if. Rabbeinu Chanan, al-kidivah, ha'rosh, who's meikol, the son of Pirshu Mesa, muteres. So they have the riff and the rosh being meikol, against the Rambam, who's machmir. V'shkein iskim ha'rashma. Because of this, v'hetadachin ha'ktinon, ha'kan l'shainai. We know we have a rule of the Beis Yosef, that when it's the riff and the rosh against the Rambam, we pass like the riff and the rosh. V'gam b'chlal memzayin, Din Beis, Kosov, Kvarnis Baalel, the Rambam Osron, the Rambam is the Iser, Afim Pirshu Mesa, Ach, Leikaimulan Hachi. So he's saying that we don't paskin Akan Lashayne, this Lashon of the Teres Chatas. Now he says, Vitos is Dakulafon of Adaraba, Hamagimisha Kosov Bishem Alochs, Benachal Varaja, Kedivere Rambam. The Shach says that he got it wrong. Really, they say these Rishonim hold like the Rambam, the Chenu Berif, Pirish Meisama, who are Kalan Shainim. Chekos of Yosef, Darkei Moshe, Umagim Mishnah. Tzarechin Ladina. Davsha Becholbay, Kosov Gamke, Bishem Rabbeinu Tam, Kohar Rambam, to be Machmir. Mekomokai, now he makes names on the other side. Da Sefer Achumas, Amordechai, Vasmag, Lavin Kuflamid Beis. Hogasmai Mini Vasmag, Simureshud Buz. Vasha'orim, Bishar Poiskim. Kedas Arash, the Garmeni Ruchim, because of Shigdali Amari Miskim Ladas Arash. Now, this is an all name Shach, right? He's lining up names on two sides. Chepozik is a Vetter Marshal, Perikel, Trefis Kofiudbeis. Chenir Adasa, Machabish Keniker. Machabish said Yesh Machmirin, which sounds like Deker is to be Makel. Lechenebe Mitchila Svaras Arash, Bistam, Ankasor Saram, Bishem Yeshaimim. Chenla Kamon Sivches, Sivte Zain, Sosak Svaras Arash, Mazibarasham. It's a little confusing to read because he starts off that two out of three are meikel. And then he says, no, the riff is really machmir. And then he says, there's a whole list of achroinim that are meikel. And he seems to end lekula. The later paiskim say the shach yud beis is meikel. They understand the shach's maskana to be meikel by pirshu meis. So memela, once you have a heter of pirshu meis, so at least in the case of the water where it's pirish meis, you have a you have a kula. The Yad Avraham, he adds that it's a shayla v'derabbanan. Even those who are machmir are pishumeis, it's a shayla v'derabbanan, not a shayla v'deraisa, which is more of a reason to be mekel. So we have a kula of pishumeis. To my knowledge, this is negeh be'ikr to the case of the water. But if there be other cases, this will be negeh too. The last thing the Mechaber says. What?
They died before his
pirish. Before his pirish, right. They died before his pirish, such as in the water. Now, again, the whole complication. The water goes from the reservoir into pipes, into a system where it's chlorinated. Now, assuming going from water into pipes is still considered loy pirishu, then it's water. Then you have the het, the fact that it dies before it comes out of the tap. No. If it's alive, there's no question. If you have bugs in water that are mutter, you're walking and you find a pit full of water, a puddle full of water, and there are bugs in it. It's mutter. If you take a cup, you now drink it. You're allowed to lap it from the water, but you can't take it out. But once it dies, then taking it out is mutter. Once it dies, it comes out after it dies, that's the head. Okay? Once it's dead, what happens later is doesn't matter, because the old din of the Torah that has to be a bug that's really, that's reichesh, that's shayreitz, no longer applies. Now, what?
It
has to be visible. It has to be visible. We're going to learn, as I said, next week, the gedarim of what's called visible, and a very, very complicated issue, because you have some experts that can find the bug anywhere. And there's a Rabbi Goldstein who's an expert in bugs. He can find a bug any place. You go like this, he'll find a bug on your palm of your hand. He was here one day. He found bugs everywhere. I told him, do me a favor, stay out of the house. You know, but however, you, I've never met you, I've never met everybody else. So do me a favor, leave the ants out of my kitchen. Now, I need to. Okay, now, Sif Hay jumps to flour. Bugs and flour are the most common shayla you found in Paiskim. What I want to do is learn Sivav and come back to Sifhei. Okay, flowers and discussion. But they want us to keep on talking about the fruits. So let's learn another kula in Sivav, and then we're going to come back to the issue of worms and flour. Sivav has another kula. Shaul, this is what you mentioned a minute ago. It's one of those kulas where the mechaber is maker like the Chashmei Ashkenaz. And the Chachmei, the Paiskim Ashkenazim are machmir like the Chachmei Svarad. It's one of those places where it's a funny twist in the way halacha is established. So let's learn the Mechaber. Now this definitely applies to the cashews. You'll see in a second. Toilo magadelim bepeiris va'odim b'mechuber chashem kesheretz ala aretz va'aser apapish loy pirish. Let's assume for a minute these worms do come into the cashews on the ground. If they come later, they're mutter. Worst case, they come on the ground. Now listen to what it says. V'hu sharichesh. Avom. Teloim hanimtsoim bepulin va'afunim tachas haklipa. They're found under a peel or under a shell. Va'klipa Mishachares aleya mibuchutz, ukeshamesiru aklipa mitzira yavchushim tachteyim. Now this klipa, it covers them from the outside. When you remove the klipa, you find them underneath mutarim. Fishe munachim b'mokin tsar v'loy karina behem asheretz al oretz kozman shaloy richashu. You hear this case? The bug is in such a tight place that it can't crawl. It can't crawl. If you open a cashew and you find the worm is trapped between the two halves of the cashew. There's no room for it to crawl there. Or you find it under the peel of these pulin, and it has no place to crawl. It's mutter. He says that it's mutter. Well, give me a chance. So this din is that it's mutter. But if you find them in a pod, like in a pea pod, which has a lot of room to move around, then it's aser because they do have room. Yesh la mokin lirchash.
How much room does it need to move around?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I honestly don't know how much.
I mean, if you borrowed into it, it must be.
No, the mother borrowed in and dropped the egg there.
Yeah, so obviously the fake that went in now.
The chur. So well, the chur, I don't know the science of it, but the chur is not enough for this worm. There's no chur that's enough for it to climb out of. Now, the mechaber is mekel, which, as I said, in the kashu case, is another tziruf. Well, it seems to us likely that it's mutter anyway, it's gedalim beperis. Even if it's gedalim al oretz, like the mechaber, it's still mutter because of this kula of the. Of what they call the Chachmei Ashkenaz that were make a lot that of a kin crawl. Now, the Ramah says, Telam agedelim b'kmeim u'petriyos, Telam that grow on mushrooms, Dinam k'may shah peiris, Lamrin l'chashivim u'chob l'karka. Now, you all know that mushrooms are shahakol, they're called gedelim in Haaretz, but still, hayil v'im avarchan aleim priyadama, they're not considered, even though they're not considered b'chob l'kark l'gai b'bracha rishayna, still, they're considered to be reichish al haretz. U'pa'am ninza b'pri k'min nekuda shchayra. And here, listen to this, Ramah's Chumra. Sometimes you find black dots in a fruit. V'makim shemaschil atelas lisrakeim. It's a place where the bug is starting to form. V'tzarch lidlay misham ba'aymik. Da'asir k'may hatelas atzmai. Now digest this, I don't mean literally. Digest what it's saying for a minute. What is the Ramah saying? Sometimes you find a black dot, and that's the bug starting to form. And we would say it's time to form the egg into a bug. That's already awesome. And you'll tell me, hold on a minute. It never crawled. It never crawled. Shachaf. Tzarechin. My shtar b'had dekasav ha-mechaber, v'tulam and insa b'pulim b'ayfarim tachas ha-klipa. Hakliva b'she'acheres aisa mi'bechutz demutar b'kimisha menachim b'makim tzar v'leiv chashu. If it never crawl, it's muta. The sasam arav kavas say Rama didn't say yesh chalkin. Chem shul serashim ashleidya lekazin dinzeh alul esvaras aid leimian arichush. So he says, I don't understand. Miu yesh liyashiv. Now listen to what he says. Harav kasev kein lefi mashukasev b'teres chatas. The teres chatas is the Rama. The afba pulin yesh lahachmed look like misham cause mashaloi this bashal. What the shach and Tess says the same thing is that this Ramah means to argue with the mechaber. The mechaber was make like this kula of the chachmei Ashkenaz, which is Rashi Tosis under Rush, that if it's trapped and it doesn't crawl, it's mutter. So the shach is saying that afal pikein. The Ramah is machmir, and he should have said it more clearly. But he seems to be machmir on this kula of leirichashu, and that's understood to be a shita sarambam. And turns out we have a machlaikis, like a fekher to machlaikis, that the mechaber is mekel like the chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Ramah is machmir like the Rambam if it's trapped. So once again, we have chalukei deis. But it helps us, again, when we have a Kama Sveikis, we have a Tziruf, for example, in the case of the nuts, we have a Tziruf of this Shita, that is so trapped that that's okay. So, it's interesting. The Mechaber's case is trapped. Ramah's case is that it's not yet mobile, it doesn't yet move. But it would seem to be the same cooler, the same reason to be mekel, it's like with the shaloris. Right. That's right. Okay, so here in Sivav we have an additional kula. I want to mention to you, I saw there's a Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Seifer, a descendant of the Kaf HaChaim in Eretz Yisrael. He's a very prolific writer. He wrote an Arichus on the meaning of Sfaradim to Paskin like the Beis Yosef. The Sfaradim, Ashkenazim is much more complicated. We have different shitas, and we always try to be yitz, at least by the Reises, many different shitas. The reason the Mechaber is a bigger Mekel is because the Mechaber is Mekel like the Rambam, unless the Riff and Rosh both disagree. The Sfaradim have a Kabbalah that the Gedolei Sfarad got together, and they paraphrase the Pasuk, Luchu El Yosef, Kashi Emelechem Tasu, that you're familiar with the idea, right? That Lecha Yosef, meaning the base Yosef, Kashi Emelechem Tasu. But they have a Kabbalah to follow the base Yosef. So this Rav Seifer writes that it's not an absolute rule. There are no absolute rules in Halacha. He brings a list of places, including this Mechaber in Sivav, where he quotes the Pri Chadash, the Pri Tayar, the Chidah, the Ben Ishchai. He quotes Yud Beis Gedele Sfarat that didn't pass like this Mechaber. And he suggests the following. He brings a dozen places in Shulchan Aruch. He says the following. The Mechaber's rule of thumb, which he himself writes, is that the Gedele Paiskim are the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. And if we paskin like two out of three, if two out of three have a sheet, of course, get all three, we paskin like them. The day of the Beis Yosef, they wrote halachas for him. Rashi and Tosfos, they wrote pirush for him. Even though Rashi sometimes says a halacha, but it's not in the major leagues. The major leagues is the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. Since the Rif and the Rambam was Sfaradim. And the Rosh, who was an Ashkenazi, moved to Sfarad halfway through his life. So, you know, it's tilted to the Chachmi Sfarad. And that is the Mechaber's general sheet. What this Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Seifer writes is in looking in the places where Sfaradim don't necessarily pass like the Mechaber, it's in places where the Mechaber violated his own rule. Like here. Here, he was makel like the Chachmei Ashkenaz. He was makel like the Rashi Tosfos and the Rosh. He's makel is not based on this klal of the Beis Yosef. What he suggests is that, generally speaking, no absolute rules. Generally speaking, the Sfaradim's Kabbalah to follow the Beis Yosef, when the Beis Yosef followed his own rule, and now where he, so to speak, broke with his own rule. So this is basically.
We also
Yisrael Yosef Yad Rama. The Rama is Rama. Okay, so we have the Rama and we have the. It's funny because the Sfaradim write this pasuk about the Ashkenazim, right? They always write it. Yeah. Okay, and anyway,
so the Rama is agree with the Mechaber, but is Machmir.
The Rama is Machmir. That trapped is not a heter.
But is Abedin's is agree with it.
We are not saimach on this kula by itself, but with that tzurufim, that's where it comes from. Now, there was an issue of bugs in orange juice that came to light about 10 years ago. Now, I want to explain the basic issue. It's a little more complicated, but the basic issue of bugs in orange juice is the following, and I'll tell you why the hecherim, generally speaking, are meikel. And people want to be more careful out of a little more mashmer. You know, I always feel, you know, it's going to come to Yom HaDin, so I'm afraid of the Yom HaDin, you know, there'll be Lashon Hara and Bittul Torah, you know, there are things that a person has to pay for. But like over a cup of orange juice to have a bunch of lavim, you know, it's just not worth it. Certainly not for some lettuce and broccoli, it's just not worth the, you know, you might as well enjoy something. But it's strictly speaking, oranges and all citrus fruits get scales. Now, scales are the five. Scales appear on the outside of the fruit. They have nothing to do with eating oranges. If you peel the orange, you eat the orange. This issue of bugs has nothing to do with eating oranges. It has to do with the peel of an orange. The peel of an orange develops a scale. A scale is like a waxy bump on the outside. Usually it gets dark over time. It's a waxy bump. What is that? That's created by a bug. There's a creature which lays an egg. It's fascinating. The egg burrows into the fruit and sucks out juice that it lives from. And it excretes a wax covering, sort of like the caterpillar that develops a cocoon. But it lives its whole life in this wax trap. It's a wax trap. It's not rechish. It's an example of sivvav. It really is never able to move. It's trapped there, and it stays in the peel. Now we don't eat peels, so it's not much of a problem. But when they make orange juice, they throw in the whole orange. The machine grinds and turns the entire orange, including the peel, into juice. Now, this appears sometimes in the orange juice, a small black dot in the orange juice, which if you look carefully, you can see. And the question is whether there's any type of a halachic issue. Now, there are a number of tzedah de kula. One tzad kula is this mechaber, the fact that it's a trapped creature. It does have a crawling stage when it initially gets onto the fruit, but at least according to what has been published, at that stage its size is smaller than a grain of salt. It's very, very tiny. It's presumably considered not visible. And then it grows a scale, which according to the Mechaber and what they're calling the Chachmei Ashkenaz, is not Isser. However, as I told you, there are Moz Machmir, and even the later Chochmei Sfarad Machmir. So, the issue regarding orange juice is whether this is considered visible. Which again, the level of visible we'll learn later. There are sometimes dots that are visible. However, they don't look like bugs. It's fascinating. Once it gets into this wax stage, they shed their legs. I don't know where the legs go, but they shed their legs. And they become a little picture of it here. It looks like a little bit of, really looks like a piece of dirt. And it doesn't at all look like a bug. Now what's interesting is when this whole tumult was going on, they discovered the following. I'm reading to you from the Chicago Rabbinical Council. They have an excellent 15-page article over the dispute. But this is what they found. Over the past few months, people have been checking orange juice for the scale. They have consistently found more insects than covers. Covers are the wax cover, which is kala yetim and atame tame. If the bug is asa, it's also asa. They found more insect and covers in Tropicana brand orange juice than an off-brand private label, not from concentrate juices. The estimated statistics are that Tropicana averages one insect per 6 ounce sample, equivalent to about 10 ounces per 64-ounce container, and one cover in each bottle. Other brands have 2 to 6 insects per bottle and almost never find a cover. So it seems that the Tropicana orange juice is an average of one per cup of juice. I mean, people take 6 ounces of orange juice or more. So it is matzoi, it is common. The other brands have 2 to 6 insects per bottle. If a bottle has 10 servings, then 2 to 6 means it's probably less than Raiv, which makes it into a Shaila v'Derabbanan. Different explanations have been suggested as to the difference between brands. Some believe it has to do with the thickness of our Tropicana juice, which has a less rigorous filtering process, or the method of extraction, or the presence of more orange oil found in the peel or rind. At this point, the suggestions are all in the realm of conjecture. There's no explanation for the difference. So, the Metzias Advarim is that Tropicana is more serious problem than the others. And certainly my recommendation we do in our house is we don't have Tropicana anymore. We have the other brands of orange juice, and Baruch Hashem, we survive with the, you know, to go with no Heinz ketchup, that would be terrible. But if you have an orange juice, that we can survive. And that's certainly my recommendation. The question of whether the mutter or aser is fascinating. The question is whether they're considered visible. As I said, we're going to learn next week. Success, we'll talk about what's visible. The shaila is this. It seems from the Bekiyim who are involved that when you discover the black dots, most black dots are not bugs. In other words, there are black dots in for many different reasons. There can be many other reasons that there could be these tiny dots in the juice. But it's at least possible that most of the dots are not. And if most of the dots are not, then even if are the dots considered visible? And B, even if they're visible, but they're not visible as bugs, since more often than not, they're not bugs, so that can be considered visible. The minhag is to be mekel on the orange juice for this reason. What? Right, they're not, if they'd be ground up, you wouldn't find
Isn't
them.
It pasteurized?
They're not considered ground up. It is pasteurized, but it's still whole. Not all bugs melt when you cook them. So anyway, this is the orange juice issue. And, you know, for me, you know, I can drink Coke. Why would I drink orange juice? So I've just stayed away from it, although in my house there's orange juice. I serve it to my guests, I just myself.
Only orange juice?
What?
Only orange juice?
I've never heard of a problem with apple juice or grape juice, only with orange juice. And citrus fruits have scales. I think it's unique to citrus fruits. But again, you have the mechaber's kula. You have two shailas. Is it moth? Is it nicker? It's more noit that it's not nicker. And number two, is it, it's loiri chashum. Because even if it comes on the fruit, the mechaber shita here is that if it's an enclosure where it can't move, that it's not called a bug. That's us. It's like, what? It's Pirish. It's Pirish lachamisa. It's Pirish when they grind it up. I assume it's lachamisa. I think that's what they're saying. Then it's okay. I think so. So this is the issue. But the oranges you get is after the filtering. So that's the issue.
What?
It could be there's a difference. They talk about the filtering here, and as I said, they after the filtering in Tropicana it's much more common, and in the cheaper brands it's less common. So the reason for it I don't know, but it seems to be a colored loy pasik. All the people involved all agreed that the Tropicana brand is much more problematic than the other brands. And, what? Right.
So how can they assume that it's better than
it's
necessary?
I'm not bucky at all in the Mitzvahs. Maybe it drowns in the oranges. I have no idea.
I
don't know why. I'm just telling you what they're telling you. That's what they're telling us, is that it is that way. In the oranges parish, we'll learn about Kamach, you'll see. I mean, it may not be. It may not be. Yeah, maybe Oide Papri, you'll see.
This.
I was just explaining that. So at any rate, this is the halacha of bugs and fruits. I mentioned to you in raisins. So let me tell you what, it's not mistaver to me that raisins should be a problem. I'll tell you why. The discovery of the bugs and raisins was made by some individuals who are, they have to be umnim in all inyanim of fruits. And in order to be able to get the bugs out of the raisins, it takes a lot of work. You have to grind up the raisins, soak them, filter it, get the black dots out. 90% of the black dots, the one time I saw it, it was done here, are not bugs. A small amount are bugs. It's impossible to say how prevalent they are. You have to take each black dot separately under a microscope and see if it's a bug. So the whole shaila of bugs and raisins doesn't seem to be a serious issue. And I think that there's a general consensus that it's mutter. In Kilo, we don't do it because generally we have a policy that whenever a sub hechsher or machre, a sub amekel, we feel that the people who use our hechsher assume that we're going to be machmir. And since the so-called better or more machmir hechsherim are machmir on raisins, so we're machmir on our prepared food places not selling raisins. We allow the supermarkets to sell raisins because people know what they're buying, and it would be absolutely treif if we wouldn't allow it, but we do allow it. But otherwise, it would seem from all the tumbling, raisins are the ones that are most mustaver to be makel, as opposed to strawberries, which are more serious, and the other, some of the other tumult topics, which were more serious. And okay, the fish bugs we didn't get to yet. That's later in the simen. But I guess this is just the call it the basic overview of the halacha. So again, to review, it's only aser if it was formed while it was mechubal karka. Not if it was formed after it was talush. Even then, it has to be Oidei B'Pri to be Mutter, or Meis B'Seich HaPri to be Mutter. And there's a separate kula of Lairichash, if it's trapped, if it's Lairichish, that seems to be a kula Mikra Adin, the Mechaber's Mekul, the Ramah, indirectly tells us that he's Machmir, so it's Chalukei Deis, but at least it should be Lakula. We will learn that when something is found in less than 50% of servings of whatever it is, it doesn't mean 50% of the raisins, but 50% of a serving of raisins or a serving of cabbage or lettuce, if something is found in less than 50%, that's called a miyot hamotzui. It's a miyot, less than 50% hamotzui. It's common. Miyot hamotzui is asa midrabanan. If something is rife, if it's that's called mozik betaloim, like regular lettuce or regular cabbage or broccoli or cauliflower, that's deiris. But on things that it's a miyot, so those things are a drabanan. So if you have a case where it's a drabanan, cashews may not be usher at all, but the most they could be is a drabanan, and then you have all these reasons to be makel, it would seem that there's no reason to check the cashews. What? I mean, how much is less than miyot shein hamotzi? So we're going to talk about it next week. There's a famous Mishkanes Yaakov, Lugabe Treifus, who says miyot hamotzi that you have to check is at least 10%. So if you hold 10%, Nabelsky held very strongly miyot hamotzi, you can't put a number to it. It means what people are generally concerned might be there. It's more of an attitude thing. But it's very hard when things are only halachic concerns, it's very hard to know how to put a number to it.
You have to be
machmer. Mir amatzi, you have to be machmer. Mir she'ein amatzi, you have to.
Even if you can't be machmer.
Right.
Any yisur, if you have 80%,
20%,
you have to be
machmer. Any yisur, yeah. Any yisur, if treifus would be more than 10%, that's where the makar is in Hechlis treifus, yeah.
Proper 20/20 vision.
So I want to talk about that. We'll leave that for next week. It's a very important issue because it's not even the 20/20 vision. It's the experience. Someone who's experienced can find bugs, and someone who's not experienced can't. And even though I find a dot in a cashew, I don't know if it's a bug. So I show it to people who are experienced in it, and they can tell you right away what it is.
I'm saying it makes it worse because if you find it, then
checking makes it worse. You find it, you throw it out. Well, some people consider that makes it better. Yeah, don't check unless you're going to throw it out. There's no sense in checking it if you can eat it. It means those who are nervous that it might be a meat amatze, so they're the ones who are checking.
No, but they talk about the line. Is it worm or insect? Or
yeah, both. All kinds of crawling creatures. Yeah, it's important to know. It may be. But I don't know if it's true. They write Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's different. Because they write in Eretz Yisrael. They find it, and here they don't. But I've eaten nuts in Eretz Yisrael. I don't see that Eretz Yisrael is much different than here. Matter of fact, the nuts, I don't know. It seems in Eretz Yisrael the nuts are better quality than the lot we get here. You don't find there as many nuts that look bad on the outside, it seems. I don't know. Maybe I just buy into better stores. Oh, maybe because Dashkoch is so stricter. What do? They check through the nuts? What do they do?
They know where the source is from.
Either buy a better grade nut?
They get them in these giant tins usually, and then they dump them out in the sack. But if you have a badatz or a mahajin place.
So it could be that's why. I don't know. To me, it seems, in the nut stores in Rishalayim, that there are less cases of nuts that are routed around the edges. Okay, Sifhei, turn back, please. The flower bugs, which has been historically the big concern. We're going to learn later, Taz brings an episode where Erev Shmuis, they found bugs, and all the chalas are going to be also. So we'll see the exact case when we get to the Taz. But this has happened many, many times. And a couple of years ago it happened, somebody made a whole tumult that the flour is a problem, and they made the bakeries buy machines to check the flour, And we told the bakeries that if they check for 10 years and never found a bug, they can stop checking. Because obviously there are no bugs. But I want to explain first the mitzias of the bugs in the flour, and then we'll learn the halacha. The bugs are called himilbin, mem yud lamid vez yud nun, or mem yud lamid vavav yud nun, milvin. Milvin are mites. They usually translate as mites, which are small creatures. Now, I mentioned to you in the past, all flour has eggs, milvin eggs, in it. All flour, that's the way God created wheat, that there are bugs everywhere. If you take a flour and you put it in an airtight container, and you put it in a warm, certainly a damp place, and you leave it there for a while, it will get wormy. It will turn wormy. If you buy flour in a store, there's very little turnover. Sometimes you have a mom and pop store. They're most in a business selling cigarettes and Coke. And so they have to fill up the store, so they have shelves in the back of, they have these places on the key side open all night. All they sell is soda, beer, and a little marijuana on the side, which now they're going to have to pay taxes on. Till now they've been doing it tax-free. It's amazing. You know, there used to be on our corner on Avenue O, on Ocean Avenue, off O, there was a Chinese food place. They sold no Chinese food. A whole night they were open, and young people were coming in and going out. And I never was in the store, but for very little Chinese food, but they sold a lot of leafy substance. It was well known that that's what they were selling. So now these places, they have flour in the back. Don't buy flour in places like this. That flour has been there forever. And when flour is stored in a place like that, it will become wormy. In places where they don't rotate the stock, the stuff in the back flour will become wormy. So one time somebody finds worms in flour, if you open up a container of flour, or sometimes even pasta, you open up a box of pasta, you'll sometimes find worms in them, and so you have to throw it out. If you find three worms, you have to throw it out. But it doesn't mean that all flour is a problem. You got to make an SOS, because it's normal for when it's stored in certain ways to create a problem. Now let's learn the Shulchan Aruch. The question is, what's the problem? We just learned worms that grow not mechubel lekarka is not a problem. And I'm telling you, the flour starts off worm-free. And then you put it in a sealed bag. Not climbing out of the bag. The worms don't get out of the bag. They're in a sealed bag. And they're put someplace where it's damp, but they turn into worms. What's the problem with the worms? The worms should be totally kosher. Whether you find it in a cashew, you find it in flour. What's the difference? So let's learn the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says, Tolam and Imsam bekemach ukiyaitzabai, tolam that are found in flour or anything else, asurim. Why? Anaya chumra shema pirshu b'shartzu ala oretz v'chazru. We didn't say this in the by fruits. Yechabe says with chayshish by these worms shema pirshu. Maybe they were pirish and they went out and maybe they came in. It's a double pella. Look at the Mechaber in the previous sif. He says the last words, afilu churay nokav l'chutz. Say, find a worm in a fruit. It's got a hole reaching the outside. L'chashin Hashem apirish v'chazim. So it's a double pella. The Taz Yud Zayin, Yisakasha, Taz Ches, Yisakasha, what's going on? We said before, and that's tab chayshish that they're pirishu. Why by flower are we being machmir and we're being chayshu shema pirshu? It's a double pella. We're chayshu shema pirshu. Now, two questions. Why are we being machmir? And secondly, in our flour, they can be pirshu. They're in a sealed bag. The worms don't crawl out of the bag. They stay in the bag. So why are we chayshu shema pirshu? So there are two ikar approaches lahalacha. The chapasad v'dar chashulchan, the place gemachrayinim. The very big difference between them. Chach Basadam says, hold on a second. In the previous sif, we said as long as the bug stays in the nut, in the fruit, it's mutter. But one of the five sveikis, the boya deli ipshita, is pirshu mepri lepri aser. Meaning, if the bug was formed in one nut or in one fruit and it crawled to another fruit, that's called leibemakam revise. and then Pirshul Mikpriva Priya is Asr. So the Chachmas Adam says, flour, all flour is made of hundreds of kernels of wheat. So it's called Pirshul Mikpriva Priya. So even though it's crawling in the fruit, in the flour, it's still Asr. That's the Chachmas Adam's Chumra, explanation of the Shulchan Aruch's Chumra. And according to that, all sealed bags of flour are usher. If there are worms there, the worms are badeis. What? Chazru means even if they're chazru. Once they're pirshu, they're usher. Even if they're chazru. But you mean the Lashon HaMechaber? Sheba pirshu v'shartzu b'chazru. Yeah, it doesn't fit well into Lashon HaMechaber. What?
Didn't we say that
it's clean?
So
now when the worms came,
where they come
from? From the tiny eggs that are below the level of visibility, but now they came, the worms are there.
There were eggs initially when you first bagged it.
Right, but those eggs are not Isser, for whatever reason. And so now they became worms. So the Chachmas Adam sheet is, that's called Mepri Lepri. But that's the Ibaya. The Ibaya is always Mepri Lepri, is whether you need Ala Aretz or Shalai B'makam Revisei, right? Now, the Aruch HaShulchan in Sukkot Mem Hei, he says he doesn't get the Chachmas Adam. The Heter is not Oisipri Prilapri. The Heter is Hainu Revisei. That's what was created. These bugs are not created in the kernel of wheat. In the kernel of wheat, they're not visible. They are, so to speak, created or formed in flour. So that's not Perish Prilapri. They're formed in flour. They're still in flour. The Aruch HaShulchan Shita is, the way I understand it, is, you know why it's Aser? Why by fruits we say we're not Chayshishu is Perish? And by these mites we are? You know why? Because that's the nature of these particular bugs. Just like you have human beings. Some people sit still, and some people can never sit still. They're always jumping all over the place. So there are some bugs that are perfectly happy to stay where they are. And by fruits we say they're happy to stay with not Chayshishu is Perishu. And the worms in the worms of flour are busy crawlers. They're crawling all over the time. It's just the teva shalahem that they crawl out. They crawl in. They move around a lot. So loit aruch hashulchan. Aruch hashulchan is talking when you have it in 1900. You have a pot of flour in your house, so they climb onto the pot, out of the pot. But according to aruch hashulchan, by us, where it's in a sealed, a controlled bag. So then Kozma, they're in the bag. They're not Isser. They're not going to be Isser. So it'll be enough Gamina between them.
So
on the inside of the bag. But remember, we said by the water, if they climb on the inside of the Kli, it's not a problem. If they climb on the outside, so it seemed to be okay. So you should know what? Before they got into the bag. Yeah, okay, so I don't know. I'm assuming that in the bag is where they get it, but you're right. Maybe it's in the silo. Okay. Now, over the last, what? The eggs. God put bugs everywhere. And flour has creatures on it, and those creatures leave eggs on wheat. And when you grind the wheat, no matter how much you sift the wheat, there will be eggs in the flour. All flour, they're on the kernel, but they don't become visible on the kernel. They're shirates after it turns into flour. So revisei is in the flour, which Aruch HaShulchan argues should be mud. Now, so again, we had two reasons. Kli is also, because maybe one on the outside of the kli, right? We said pipes could be mutter. So we'll be mekel there, certainly by sveikas. Hold on a second. The last 300 years, Poskim have been writing tshuvas, looking for ways to be more mekel in the case of the bugs, starting from the Bach, who was a big mekel, and the bugs in the words. The Milvin was a common issue. I guess the best thing is to look at Pesachei Tshuva Gimel, go straight to where he brings the Shaila, if it crawled on the inside, like on the inside of the bag, on the inside of a keli, he brings Ayipri Berhetim, about Shekosav Ayipri Chada Shechaylek, Ratzlai Besfira Lei, Afilum Bevadei Pirshu Akelim Bifnim Shari, Kamei Bemayim. You're worried that they crawled on the inside of a keli, it's still mutter. If you're going to pour this into a, you're going to pour water into the flour, and turn it into dough. Now the bugs are no longer nicker. So it's going to be mutter. Even though it's mistava what he says that it's okay. Ain't lohakol neged shara paiskim. Aval. Besafik pirshu klal. Ain't limchais the mishamekel. All our flour is safik pirshu. Because we certainly don't know that the worms are pirish. So the nebun is mekel, but he's mekel with ain't limchais. It doesn't sound like he would eat it. He says ain't limchais. Vim kvar ofu mikemach hazeh. V'loidoida talas ad la'achar afia. If you already baked it, and you aren't aware of worms in the flour till later, which sometimes happens. Yesh lahakol b'efsim beruma afa b'kemach hayamunach ala oretz ayin sham heitev. He finds reason to be mekel. Va'ayin, let me finish because it's late. Va'ayin ber heitev shol rab marit hevi kan divrei ataz. The oisalasis yain sraf b'kemach shasliya. Okay, ataz later has an arichus of making schnapps out of wheat that has bugs. After Lashayap is the aim of Atlin Isalachilak, even like this cabin like Lahitzi Azayam Imenu. This Taz, I mentioned to you many times, at the din of aim of Atlin Isalachilak. A Chazal acid, if you have Atlin Isalachilak, it's acid. So you say, hold on a second. You have bugs in the flour, and you mixed it with water, or you made a schnapps out of it, aim of Atlin Isalachilak. So the Taz's Kula is aim of Atlin Isalachilak is if you're doing something in order to be Mavatlin. But if it's the normal process, and in Mela it's bottle, it's mutter. The Taz says it twice. The famous place is by honey. Honey has bee parts in it, which are of course treif. But you always cook honey. All honey is cooked to blend the honey. It should be uniform. And in Mela, the bee parts melt into the honey. And that's mutter. It's not called aim of Atlin Isalachilak. That's the normal way to make honey. The same thing he says with schnapps. When you cook the wheat or the barley to make schnapps, that's the normal way of making schnapps, and therefore there's no problem of Eimav Atlin Isatchila. B'chavak im Yili Yisrael Shum Heter Yavai Leich Lei Be'en B'chazah B'chaydish Chalach Lav B'mat Elas Yisayin Tzraf B'chay B'chuv Tzemat Tzedek. So he brings a list of tshuvas, and at the end, what he basically says is that all the tshuvas that are mekel, a flour that has bugs, are mekel in the gedder of hesed meruba, or ein limchais, and that's the issue. But otherwise, generally speaking, it's an issue. There is a shach that we're going to have later that's mekel in a place where it's a svek sveka on the milbin, on these things. In other words, we have a suffix if the worms were there, plus you have a second suffix whether it's Issa of Eim of Atlin Issa Chatchila. So the shach later is Mekel on Svek Sveka. Just remember where the shach was. I didn't jot it down, but the shach is not here. Okay, I guess we'll get to it. We're going to get to the sugya Svek Sveka being Mekel on bugs with Svek Sveka. Okay, so... okay, believe that's so possible. So let's sum up again. We learned two kulas. One kula if it started in the pre-itzmuta. One kula if it's trapped in the pre-itzmuta. And the second kula would only use the makim syrup. But these are the important kulas. And it's a shame. Next week we'll learn about the size. And then we'll get to svek sveka as well.